Operetta. The very word brings to mind wit, liveliness, just plain fun. But more than anything, operetta means romance. In the appealing stories played out on stage and the captivating music that brings them to life, romance is what Franz Lehár's The Merry Widow is all about. Today, more than a century since it premiered, it continues to enchant the world with its irresistible leading couple. Their volatile relationship is the heart of this piece, which boasts one of the most glorious scores ever written for the stage. I'm Roger Pines, dramaturg at Lyric Opera of Chicago, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to Die Lustige Witwe, The Merry Widow. I'll be playing excerpts from EMI's classic recording with a cast headed by Elisabeth Schwarzkopf in the title role of the widow Hanna Glavary and Eberhard Wächter as Count Danilo, with Hanni Steffek as Valenciennes, Nikolai Jeda as Camille, and Josef Knapp as Baron Zeta, with a Philharmonia chorus and orchestra conducted by Lovro von Matacic. Lehár, whose first name in his native Hungarian was Ferenc, was born in 1870 in what is now Slovakia. His father had a career as a military bandmaster for nearly four decades. He was also a composer and his son's first teacher. Musically, it was very helpful for Lehár's future career that when he was growing up, he heard all sorts of music in his father's performances, not just standard marches, but also hits from the Italian operatic repertoire, overtures of every kind, and a variety of dance music by the waltz king Johann Strauss Jr. Folk music was incredibly important in those band performances, and Lehár developed an extensive familiarity with it, whether it originated in Hungary, Czechoslovakia, or Austria. When he entered the Prague Conservatory at the age of only 12, Lehár hoped to concentrate on both violin and composition. It was the great Antonín Dvořák who thought this kid had the makings of a remarkable composer and suggested he limit his focus to composition exclusively. He spent a whopping 6 years at the conservatory, which was one of the best in Europe. When he finished there, he was first a violinist in the theater at Barmen Elberfeld in Germany's Rhineland. Then he was called up for military service. He served as assistant conductor in his father's band. Lehár then became a military bandmaster himself in 1890, and he continued off and on in that capacity all the way to 1902. That was the year that his trajectory to prominence in operetta really began. He was appointed music director of Vienna's Theater an der Wien, probably the most important venue for operetta in the German-speaking world. The Theater an der Wien had opened back in 1801. Its first manager and impresario was none other than Emanuel Schikaneder, who had been the librettist and the first Papageno in Mozart's Magic Flute. 4 years later, the theater was the site of one of Vienna's most historically significant operatic world premieres, Beethoven's Fidelio. Plays by the most celebrated writers of Viennese comedy, Ferdinand Raimund and Johann Nestroy, were premiered there too. In 1874, with the first performance of Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus, the Theater an der Wien ushered in what became known as the Golden Age of Operetta in Vienna. For some years, Lehár's father was a member of the theater's orchestra. Today, the beautiful Theater an der Wien is once again a full-fledged opera house, with important productions featuring distinguished international casts. At the time of The Merry Widow, Lehár had already tried his hand at writing for the stage. His first work to be produced in the theater was an opera, not an operetta. It was called Kukushka, and it premiered unsuccessfully in Leipzig in 1896. But then, in Vienna, a waltz by Lehár called Gold and Silver was heard at a ball, and it was enthusiastically received. That success started to spread Lehár's name around the city. At Vienna's other important operetta venue, the Karl Theater, two more Lehár premieres went pretty well, but then came two more failures. So, when The Merry Widow came along, Lehár's triumph was hardly a foregone conclusion, far from it. It was the librettist Leo Stein who was responsible for finding the story that became The Merry Widow. The whole progress of the piece began with a play called L'Attaché d'Ambassade, The Embassy's Attaché. It was written by a legendary figure in the world of opera and operetta, Henri Mélac, whose credits included co-authoring the libretti of Bizet's Carmen, Massenet's Manon, and many popular works by Offenbach. The Embassy's Attaché had been a big success in both Paris and Vienna. Leo Stein took the script to his writing partner, Victor Leon. The two of them had already scored a smashing success, creating an operetta to music by Johann Strauss Jr., Wiener Blut. Leon and Stein prepared a libretto that they offered to Richard Heuberger, whose operetta from 1898, The Opera Ball, had made him the darling of Vienna. But Leon and Stein were dissatisfied with Heuberger's setting of the first act of their new libretto. They were reluctant to hand the text over to Lehár, since they were well aware that two of his recent operettas had been major failures. As a sort of audition for the job, Lehár composed one song just to demonstrate what he could produce in working with this wonderful material. That song was the rollicking second act duet of The Heroine and Hero, which would eventually prove to be one of the most popular numbers in The Merry Widow. In any case, it was enough to convince Leon and Stein that Lehár was the right man for the job. It's easy to imagine what a fabulous New Year's Eve celebration the world premiere of The Merry Widow could have provided, but the traditional New Year's Eve operetta in Vienna was, and no doubt always will be, Die Fledermaus. The first performance of The Merry Widow took place one night earlier, December 30th, 1905, at the Theater an der Wien. It did well, but a triumph it wasn't. It took word of mouth for the Viennese to realize what a gem of an operetta they had in their midst. The piece quickly made the rounds of Western Europe before reaching London in mid-1907 and New York later that same year. In a uniquely authoritative book from the mid-1980s entitled Operetta, A Theatrical History, the author Richard Traubner cites some impressive statistics for The Merry Widow. At the time the book was written, there had already been 250,000 performances worldwide, translations into at least 25 languages, and numerous adaptations for ballet and film. As Traubner says, The Merry Widow has been burlesqued, vaudevillized, and broadcast countless times. It was the London version from 1907 that reworked the libretto so that the widow, Hannah, became Sonia. She hailed from Marsovia rather than Pontevedro, and most of the other major characters' names were changed. When Mae Murray played the widow in a silent film in 1925, her character was called Sally O'Hara. Jeanette MacDonald in 1934 was Madame Sonia, a.k.a. Fifi. And in the 1952 film, in which Lana Turner starred but did not do her own singing, the character was renamed Crystal Roddick. Hollywood cut the score to smithereens, so millions of people grew up not knowing the work of Lehár, Leon, and Stein as it was meant to be performed. That was the film audience's loss, since this is really a matchless work that should be performed with the integrity it deserves.